There you go. All righty. I think we did pretty well there. As they return to their seats, I invite you to take out your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And today we want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. We're going to begin there with the final verse of chapter 29. And that is going to lead us into the next chapter, chapter 30. So Deuteronomy 29, and we're going to read through chapter 30, verse number 10. Look at that page number for you right away. If you're using that Pew Bible located in front of you, you are going to find it on page number 319, page number 319. After the reading of God's Word, I do invite you to keep your Bibles open. We are going to explore this passage together, as well as look at a couple other passages this morning. So you're going to keep your Bible open as we look at that way. You're able to follow along and see how God's Word is laid out for us and how it is written for it. Because just as important as what is written is how it is written. So this morning we are also going to pay attention to that a little bit later on in the message. But this is what God's Word says here in Deuteronomy chapter 29, beginning with verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And may God add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture this morning. So here, as we are reading in the book of Deuteronomy, it starts a new era as the Hebrew people are looking forward. They're looking forward to their time in the promised land as they are about to enter the promised land. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and that is coming to an end now. Moses, who is writing Deuteronomy, is also coming to the end of his life. So the people, as they enter into the promised land, they will enter in without Moses under the leadership of Joshua. But here Moses, as he has been traveling with the Hebrew people, he has been taking notes. And he has thought deeply about God's dealings with the people of Israel. And he has made note about how they have had their ups and how they have had their downs. And he has made note about how they have forsaken God and how they have looked to other idols, looked to other gods for their guidance, and they have forsaken their true God. And now he recalls and he relates and he interprets all that God has done in the life of the Hebrew people over the past four decades. Well, we do this as well in our lives. We look at the things around us. And as we look at the things around us, we think about them, we interpret them, and we wonder what exactly is going on. And we wonder, how can we be wiser because of what we are seeing? Take marriage, for instance. Marriage is already complicated enough. And then in the marriage, when husband and wife are unfaithful to one another, and one begins to go and look for satisfaction elsewhere, it even more complicates the marriage. As you see that there is mistrust and there is betrayal. And then also we see what it does to the family. And when we say it and we look at it and we see it happening, we say, now that's just dumb. That somebody would make that decision and throw everything away, throw away the peace, the love, the security. We see that also in our lives around us, in things in the news. Take, for example, the shooting that we witnessed in the high school in Georgia this past week. And here we have a young man who took a gun to school, killing four people, two students and two teachers. And we see this young man, 14 years old, and we say, why did you do that? Why did you throw away your entire life? How dumb. Or just down the street, the shooting in Whitewater. A boyfriend takes out a gun and shoots his girlfriend. A young man, his whole life ahead of him. And that young lady, her whole life ahead of her, snuffed out, and we say, how dumb, how could that happen? How could you do that? And then in our own community, I've seen a few stories about this over the past weeks. We see men who are, maybe they're a husband, or maybe they're a father, or maybe they're a grandfather. And in their own weakness and in their own brokenness, they have chosen to download child pornography. And they were caught for it. And now they are paying the price for it. And we look at that and we say, how dumb. How can you do that? How can you make that decision? How foolish. So as I bring out these examples, I have to ask myself, am I being too harsh? Are these examples that I'm bringing out this morning, are they hitting too close to home? And I know and probably imagine that here and also as watching on live stream, that there are probably some here who have done some of these things. And maybe as I bring them up, maybe there are old wounds that are being reopened, and maybe there's hurt feelings, and maybe you're saying, well, I've already dealt with that, I've already processed that, I've already worked through that. For those who fall into those categories, I ask you, please stick with me. Please stick with me. Because resolution is coming. Resolution, peace, and comfort is coming. So stick with me in this message this morning if you find yourself in those categories. But the preacher has a duty. The preacher has a duty not only to bring words of comfort, but also to bring words of warning. And this morning, those who are thinking about compromising your convictions, we come with this warning and we say, don't do it. Maybe you are conjuring up a friendship at the office or at the factory or wherever with someone of the opposite sex who is not your spouse. And you're thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Don't do it. Don't do it. Or maybe you've been bullied and you're thinking, well, just wait till I bully them. And you're thinking of large-scale violence. And instead of wanting to talk about your feelings or experiences, you want to engage in violence. And we say, don't do it. Don't do it. Or maybe in the quietness of your own home, in the darkness maybe, you're thinking about, oh, I wonder what is out there. I wonder what I can find on my computer as far as child pornography is concerned. And why don't I just go take a peek? Don't do it. Don't throw everything away. Because mark my words, from what we have seen here in the county of Racine, if you do that, Canine Stella is coming after you. Who is Canine Stella? She is a dog. She will come into your house and she will sniff out all of your electronic storage devices. And you will be caught. Because as our sheriff said, it's not a victimless crime. Because every time those images are viewed, that child is once again victimized. Don't do it. It has no place in the life of a Christian. Or maybe you're thinking of, well, maybe I'll take and drink some more alcohol. Maybe more than what I usually drink, because I have these feelings and I have these inadequacies and I want to mask them, cover them up. And we say, don't do it. Or maybe you're struggling with your bills and wondering how you're going to pay it. So maybe you're going to go to the casino or buy extra lottery tickets in hopes of winning the big lottery, winning the big jackpot. And you find yourself going down and down and down in that spiral. And we say, don't do it. Or maybe you're thinking about engaging in sex outside of marriage. God makes it clear that sex is to be within marriage. But you cannot wait until you get married. So you take out and you go, and so you take that on even before that is time. And we say, don't do it. Well, what I just did here with these examples is what Moses is doing throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is saying to the Hebrew people, look what God gave you and look what you did with it. Look how God led you. Look what all the things that he did in your very presence. And look how you forsook him, how you went after idols, how you went after gods. Look at how dumb you have been. But now, before I get carried away, we must recognize that who Moses is speaking to here in the book of Deuteronomy, who his audience is a new generation. Okay, the old generation that worshipped the golden calf, that generation is gone. And this is a new generation that's about to enter the promised land. And Moses is speaking to them, but he is reminding them about things that happened in the past. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't do the dumb things that were done in the past. So did I have to say these things, these examples that I used? Did I have to use them so specifically? No. But I'm convinced that without bringing out very specific examples, it wouldn't be as powerful. And I wanted to bring out specific examples that are powerful, that are real, so that I can proclaim the grace of God just as powerfully. Because the grace of God is powerful. And as we enter into chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, that is what it is all about. It is all about God's grace shown to a disobedient and rebellious people. Now, verse 29, that is our text for the day, our text verse, is a transition verse. As Moses is speaking, it is a transition verse between the doom and gloom of chapter 29, and as one commentator says, the brilliance, the light, the grace of chapter 30. So verse 29 there, Moses writes in this verse, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. It is a transition verse. Without it, it would be too abrupt, says commentators, to go from what he is talking about in chapter 29 and then go into verse 30. So he inserts this verse, this phrase, right here for us. So what does he mean by the secret things? And that is the mystery of divine providence. I mean, how could the one true God, who was rejected, who was abandoned for other gods, how could he even think about ultimate renewal of the covenant? Because that's what we're seeing happening here in chapter 30. God is renewing his covenant with his people. He's renewing a relationship. That's a simple way to put covenant. We could go into all sorts of details about what a covenant is and what it isn't. But for our purposes today, covenant is a relationship. It is a relationship between man, between sinful man, and a holy God. And that's how it relates to us as we are standing here, as we are sitting here today. How could God, who we are, whom we are constantly rejecting, in favor of other gods, even think about ultimate renewal with us? How could God want to renew his relationship with us? Well, he does this through the revealed things. The revealed things, the knowledge that God makes clear and known to his people. And God has made it abundantly clear that his people can have a relationship with him. We can have a relationship with a God who is holy. So the question then is how? How can we who are sinful have a relationship with a holy God? Because unholiness and holiness cannot coexist. It cannot be in the same place. So here's where the secret things and the revealed things begin to join together. And the good news starts to come through. So as we go through the rest of the verses, I want to switch to a different translation. I want to switch to the English Standard Version. And like I said before I read, it's just as important to know what is said, but to see how it is said. And to see how these things join together. And I think the ESV, which is a more literal translation, does a little bit better job of bringing out all of the words and how they are connected. So if you have your NIV, that's fine. You can keep it open. But in these verses where it's just a sentence and it starts, The ESV places an and. Okay, so in verse number 30, it says, and when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. Verse number 2, and you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul. As a result, verse number 3, as a result of that, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. You hear all of this stuff, and it's piling up, and we might be thinking, what more do I have to do? What more do we have to do? And it feels like there is a weight on our shoulders. And yes, there is personal responsibility that we need to be aware of in our relationship with the Holy God. But then we come to verse number 6. And again, here in the ESV, I want us to see that it begins there with an and. Or even in the New American Standard Bible and the Revised Standard Version, which also are more literal translations, it says, moreover. Moreover, in summary, here's basically what I'm going to say. Verse number 6, and moreover, in summary, basically what the Lord's going to do, Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. The important thing to see here this morning is this is something that God is going to do. God is going to circumcise your hearts. And what that basically means, we could go down all sorts of rabbit trails with this morning. But the basic idea is when he says that he is going to circumcise your hearts, basically what he is saying is that he is going to change your life. Your life is going to be changed. And God is the actor. God is the initiator. And God, as he says in the book of Ezekiel, that he will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is what God is going to do. We sometimes get so caught up with what we have to do. Yes, there is that personal responsibility, but the power to change, it comes from God. Listen to what one commentator writes. The power to change comes from God. There is an old saying that God does not make us to go against our will, just makes us willing to go. God's commandments are his enablements. He has not commanded us to do anything that he will not empower us to do. For indeed, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. God is the initiator. God is the one who comes in and changes our hearts and changes our lives. He is the one who does it for us. We do not have the power to change our own hearts and our own lives. That is an act of God. We have the power of Christ then living within us. And we read about that. The Apostle Paul tells us about that in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. If you have your pew Bible open, you're going to find that on page number 1830. Page number 1830. Here the Apostle Paul, he's picking up on what is said in the Old Testament about the circumcision of hearts. And he writes here, Colossians 2, verse number 6, page number 1830. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, he has come in, he has changed your life. Continue to live your lives in him. Don't give up. Continue. Do it consistently. Verse number 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Verse number 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Verse number 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And then he writes this verse number 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. When Christ changed your life, when Christ entered in, when Christ made himself known to you. How so? Verse number 12, having been buried with him in baptism, having been united with him in his death and that, in which you were also raised with him through your faith, raised with him in his resurrection, brought to new life, brought out of death into new life, raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Again, there we see that it is the work of God. God is the one who initiates and brings this to fruition in our lives. So that is what the Apostle Paul picks up on, that and how we are then in Christ and before God the Father as we are then called to live new lives. Now, who does God do this to? Well, if we return back to Deuteronomy, we see even earlier in the chapters before that, that God says, I didn't look at you, Israel. I didn't choose you because you were powerful. No, I chose you because you were of the fewest. You didn't have big numbers, but because of my love for you. And Jesus, in the same way, he looks at us. We see him all throughout his earthly ministry. His birth was proclaimed to lowly shepherds. That this Jesus, that this Messiah was born. And he goes through and he chooses disciples whom you probably wouldn't choose for anything. But yet Jesus saw their worth. And he called them to be his disciples. And we see him throughout his ministry that he ministers to those who are outcasts, those who are beyond society, those who are on the fringes of society. And he calls them to be his people. And he brings them healing. And he brings them restoration. Now why? Why does he do? How does he choose? We don't know. Those are the secret things that we talk about, that we speak, that we hear about in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Those are the secret things. It's not because of anything that we have done. It's not because of anything that we have said. It's not because of any prayer that we have prayed. God chooses us because of his love for us. And that is all that we need to know. That we have a God who is holy, that is mighty, and in his holiness, through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, that he can welcome us, an unholy people, into his presence. And we don't know why. He has chosen us. He has made his place in my heart, in your heart, in those hearts of those who are listening this morning, in vast millions and thousands and millions of those around the world and throughout the generations. But all we know is that God does it, and he reveals himself to us so that we may follow after him and do his will. That's what the book of Deuteronomy, that's what he says, so that God is going to bring these blessings so that they can continue to do his will, continue to work out his ways. And we don't do it as a way to earn God's love. We do it as a way to be gratitude, of thankfulness for what God has done for us. So we talk about and we think about the secret things that belong to God. And this includes the things that happen to us in our personal lives, the things that we don't understand, and in the things that we see around us. I mentioned before, previous, the shooting that happened in Georgia. I have here a little story, a little quote from Ronald Clark. He's a youth pastor and a chaplain there at the school. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward and to get yourselves ready, because I want to go right from this story right into the next song and offering. So those who are playing instruments and singing, please come forward. But this is what Ronald Clark said in an interview. Here's the question that he was asked. And the interviewer, she asked him, just on a broader scope, you were here with a lot of students, a lot of staff yesterday. And she says, talk to us. Just what these students said to you or opened up to you about, what it was like trying to help them to cope. And really, may not cope at the time. But understand this tragic shooting. And this is what he said to him. He said, part of the coping that I was speaking, even right here, speaking with some people, that is God. God, he hasn't changed. You know, we change on him. And he's talking there, context tells us, he's talking about the negative things. That we abandon God, we seek after other gods, we seek after idols. So we get away from God, we turn our backs on God. So he says, you know, we change on him, but God is still the same. In times like this, it causes us to not want to believe. But this should encourage us more to believe, to know that he is still in control. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Amen. Receive our offering. Lead us in song.
Christ our wisdom, we are humble.